Annyeonghaseyo, good morning and warm welcome to you all. If you're here for the first time, it's great to see you, and we hope to have a chance to get to know you afterwards. The service is being live streamed, so we welcome those joining us from home or elsewhere. Worship continues here today with the 11:30 interactive service and then the 5 o'clock service. As always, please do check the notices sheet that's sent round each week, which has all the details of upcoming events. There are a few copies at the back, I think. Just to highlight a few of them though, reminder that elders' election is now underway and you have until the end of the month to return your voting forms. Please put them in the box at the back of the church or send them and give them to me. If you can't get to church, please post them or perhaps give them to another member of the church who can bring it in for you. Prayer, in addition to the midweek 10 o'clock prayer sessions, there are two extra prayer events coming up. This Tuesday, the 22nd of February, from 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 at night, is the Synod Area 12 Hours of Prayer. And then on Friday, the 4th of March, for the start of Lent, we have the KURC 24 Hours of Prayer. If you can help lead a session, please speak to Leslie. There will be a Lent course run in conjunction with All Saints starting the week of the 7th of March. Two music events coming up. The 4th of March, there will be a concert by Peter Bullitt using the new organ. And on the 5th of March, we have the Remembering Nigel session. So informal music and dancing in the hall afterwards. So that's the 5th of March. A reminder that the bookshop will be open after the service, so Graham will be around to sell you books and cards. Tea and coffee on a Sunday. I'm sure you all love to have your cups of tea and coffee, but we need people to help run it. So Hejung is doing a great job at the moment, but if you can help with that, please do speak to her. The more people who volunteer to do it occasionally, the less often we have to do it. Finally, news of people. We heard that Margaret McMahon has had a fall and broken her hip. Sally has COVID and is in isolation, hopefully back towards the end of this week or early next week. Congratulations to Denise and Richard Scora on the birth of a grandson. Baby Emmett Allen Scora was born on Friday, 10:05, weighing 8 pounds, 6 ounces. He's brother to Poppy and the son of Joe and Ben. And the grandparents, as you can imagine, are over the moon. Please continue to remember others known to us who are unwell or finding life difficult at the moment. Now Leslie has a notice.
She came here, or she? Not tell me, she's been in and gone out. Looks like she has. Where's Vaughan? Where's Teresa? Vaughan? She's gone sneaking out the loo. How embarrassing. Yeah. Yeah, okay, right. Just put you lot, just pretend nothing happened. Right, and now we will prepare to worship. Join together to worship God and hear these words of the psalmist. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land of joy and security. Take delight in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart. We join together to sing When a Knight Won His Spurs, which is Bethany's choice, and that is a reminder to us all. If you ever want to pick a hymn, I might let it happen. Can't promise. But here we go. When a Knight Won His Spurs.
When a
please have a seat. And we join together to pray. Let us pray. So let us be still as we come to be aware that we are in God's presence. We thank you, God, that you see the light in us and in other people that we fail to recognize. We thank you that you are the source of that light. Lord, we confess that we have sometimes failed to see the light in others. We have held grudges. No matter who started it or how it began, we have kept our anger warm. Sometimes we know that we should have turned the other cheek and we didn't. Lord, forgive us and help us to forgive others. And Lord, we thank you for showing us a better, maturer way to live. To know that when someone has wronged us or wronged somebody that we love, our natural first thought is to take revenge, to give as good as we got. But teach us to pause. Lord, we praise you for the wisdom of your teaching that leads us to life in all its fullness. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. So, just a minute, could somebody open the back door, please, quickly? Open the back door. Thank you. Now, could you go outside? Because it's open it. That's it. Thank you. It's just, Joe sent me. Right, so congregation, I want you to gasp that I'm giving some flowers. Gasp. What a surprise. Woo, we didn't know that was coming, said the congregation. So for many people, one of the few joys of this hideous time has been the prayers that we've received every day on our email or on our WhatsApp. And if you haven't received them, tell me and I'll add you to the list. And the person that's done this work on our behalf is Teresa. So Teresa, we want to say thank you to you for always doing it, never missing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we know you didn't do it for the flowers, but we do need to say thank you to you. Right, I need two volunteers up to help me. Da, da, da. That's it. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Thank you very much. Oh, and that nice bit of Highland cow going on. Did you put that jumper on just for me? No. Okay. Right, so somebody does something mean to you, your first reaction, they punch you, your first reaction is to get right smack back. Yes. So, they throw a rock at you, your first instinct is to throw a rock at them. Okay? Now, if I said to you, you're not going to throw a rock at them, but you're going to, if they're mean to you, you might just feel not very happy with them, and you might just have to get on with your life, carrying around with you all the time that feeling, not very happy with them. All the time. It's not very heavy. It's not very heavy. It's not very heavy. It's not very difficult. But I said to you, could you clap, please? Ooh, that might hurt. But you could do this. You'd have to put it out of the way, wouldn't you? And that would be a bit of a pain in the neck. But Jesus said, when people are mean to you, you've got to forgive them. Get rid of it. Then you can clap. The thing to say, though, is that's not easy. It's a really, really, really grown-up bit of teaching, because we all know what it is when somebody's mean to us to want to get back at them. They do something to us, we want to get back at them. But if we keep that in our hearts, the only person we harm is us. We're going to sing. Let's make our pile to remind people. Thank you. And the next time you're in the playground and things go bad. So we join together to sing. Jesus put this song into our hearts.
Done.
See you later. Bye bye. So, if you think about the story of Joseph, if I say to you the story of Joseph, what's the first thing you want to sing to me? Ah, Joseph. The whole story of Joseph, not with the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, but the real one that's in the scriptures. It's not long, it's substantial, and it's worth the read. And it's a profound human story. And it's a story of a man who could take revenge and doesn't. And then the next scripture will be from Luke, which is from what's called the Sermon on the Plain, as opposed to the Sermon on the Mount. And it's among the toughest and most difficult bits of teaching of what Jesus has to say to us. And I know Maddie Anilzak is reading one piece and Bethany is reading the other.
Genesis 45, verses 3 to 11 and 15. Joseph said to his brothers, "Ask Joseph, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But when his brothers heard this, they were so terrified that they could not answer. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they did, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, for you have saw me here. It was really God who sent me ahead of you to save people's lives. This is only the second year of famine in the land. There will be 5 more years in which there will be neither ploughing nor weeping. God sent me here to preserve you, for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, a lord of all his household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed his brothers and wept upon them, and after that his brothers talked with him." This be the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who ill-treat you. If anyone hits you on one cheek, let him hit the other one too. If someone takes your coat, let him have your shirt as well. Give to everyone who asks you for something, and when someone takes what is yours, do not ask for it back. Do for others just what you want them to do for you. If you love only the people who love you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners do that. And if you lend only to those from whom you hope to get it back, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. No, love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. You will then have a great reward, and you will be children of the Most High God, for he is good to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others, and God will not condemn you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you. Give to others, and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping poured into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you. Amen.
How would it be, how would the world be if we were told, hate your enemies and always seek to get your own back? Bloody. That's how it would be. Forgiveness is what makes the world bigger and better. And loving the unlikely one is a life's challenge, and it's also the path to mature, and it is the way that the world improves. And before you roll your eyes, thinking of me as somebody with holier-than-thou naivety, please remember that loving and indulging are not the same. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we pledge ourselves to love our enemies or take the consequences. Forgive us our sins, trots off the tongue, but beware, as we forgive others, is the next phrase. Loving our enemies is surely the hardest of the scriptures to live by. Well, for immature people like me, it surely is. I'm sure you all, spiritual saints, you all know all about it. But is it possible that these are words just for some scriptural, spiritual elite? Wouldn't that be great? No. The text says, I say to you who listen. And that includes us. It looks like weakness, but actually there is no greater wisdom, and this requires mature strength. All that power that flows from Jesus is dedicated to and will bring about a different world, God's world. The power will level the playing field, no matter what rules we have tried to protect our positions. And the thriving of all creatures in God's realm requires a totally different way of living and thinking about life. And Jesus describes what loving looks like. Do good. Do good. Don't just think lovely thoughts. Move into action. Do good. Those who follow Jesus are to live as God lives. To live with mercy. To live with generosity beyond what people would expect. Beyond what is reasonable. Beyond what people would understand. For disciples, for God's people, loving lending, doing good are all about generosity. And it's good to keep in mind that love in this passage is about willing the good for another and acting on that will. So let's start with doing good to those who beg. Giving money to those who ask for a loan, giving money. It is a wise thing not to lend to people and expect the money back. It damages relationship. Give it by all means. Write it off in your head. It is gone. Then it will not cast a shadow on your relationship with them. And giving to someone who is begging, I'm not giving them money. They'll only waste it on alcohol. And how often have we said that to ourselves when we were on the way to the pub or home to get friendly with the gin bottle? You could say that living by the golden rule, do to others as you would have them do to you, would be a great standard in our time when people in power are setting rules and standards that they are not applying to themselves. But Jesus says, that is not enough. God's mercy is to be our measure. All gifts flow from God, who is tender and merciful. Let those gifts which we have received flow from you, says Jesus. So let's look at the reverse. How would it have been if Jesus had never said this? How would things be then? It is a mature thing to love your enemies. Do we have them? Do we have enemies? There is an argument that everyone has something to teach us, and that no one is our enemy. The danger in our society is that we try to force intimacy by gathering in groups who all hate the same people. And in churches, what happens is the big enemy are different types of Christians from us. So it's evangelicals, or it's liberals, or it's Roman Catholics, or it's Protestants. I have never been in a church where they hated Protestants, but that's because I am one. Or it's some other part of the church. Or it's homosexuals. Man. Churches rally round together, ripping up that rainbow flag. Muslims, people who are attacked and despised in our society. But actually, that joint hatred does no good, for it contradicts the very one that we love. God draws us together. God wants people to be drawn together and held together in love. We may not agree with what people are doing, but we need to watch our views about them and what that does to us. We harm ourselves tremendously by having unforgiveness in our hearts. And it is an act of self-love to strive to love your enemies. And Joseph is the great model here. So let's be clear, he's not Jesus, so he is a sinful man, but the story is an inspiring one. He's sold into slavery by his brothers. Admittedly, the older brother, Reuben, the older one, does that to save his life, but he's taken into Egypt. He spends years in prison and is eventually set free, and he rises through the court of Pharaoh through his ability to interpret dreams. And one of these warns them that there is to be a famine coming, warns Pharaoh, and he interprets it, that there's a famine coming. And Joseph is put in charge of storing the grain in barns and then, in times of scarcity, distributing it. And people come from all over the known world to buy corn from the Egyptians. And his brothers are among them. So now he has them in the palm of his hand. Make them grovel. Torture them. Make them know that their bad behavior will cause them and their father to die of starvation. No. He manipulates the situation so that his younger brother is brought, and then he reveals who he is. And he feeds his family and is reunited with his father. And even in the middle of it all, he sees the hand of God in his personal terrible story that has meant that his family's lives would be saved. In our grudge carrying, who are we harming? Very often people tell the story, they tell it on and on. They lose the crowd who are listening. People know that things change and that people move on. That total dragon who dominated your life is now the sad old woman in the nursing home who needs to be visited. That total bully is now isolated because everybody else caught up with their behavior and they need friends. Let's be clear. Please be clear. I am not talking to you from a place of spiritual strength. I know this is not easy. I know it well. I come well equipped in my grudge carrying. I come from a family of, well, not my mother, but my granny. Tremendous grudge carrying. To quote, he was cremated because they couldn't find six friends to lower the cords and such like. But my grandfather, who could see the bigger picture, recognized that the enemy was actually the loser. The one who'd ripped him off was actually the loser. He was the one who ended up socially isolated, alone with his stupidity, his superficial acquaintances and cash. To quote Frozen, let it go. Or shall we sing? Let it go, let it go. All right, thank you very much. Don't sing it, okay? I won't sing it. Let it go. We let it go when we do it because it is the call of Jesus. But the golden teaching is this, that only the mature know. The golden truth is this: it makes life better for us. I know it doesn't look like that, but it's actually true. Loving the undeserving is to be shaped by God. It's like loving like Jesus did as he hung on the cross. So let us pray. We know what it is to be treated unfairly. Help us to put that down. To put it to one side. Help us to learn to love. May love be our life's work. As individuals and as a community, shape us, Lord Jesus, to be a people who love. And we pray in your name. Amen. So we join to sing, As the Deer Pants for the Water. Please, and applaud Kathy for the button pressing that went on just in that song. Thank you. Right, turn and please have a seat. And the other thing to remind everybody of, which is those here in this space and also those of you on Zoom, is that there is in the foyer a little box where you can write your prayer requests. So put them in, and then I'll read you the one that I've gotten from the box today, and you'll it's a great thing to be able to offer this to somebody. And it says here, quest from I don't know who, says, please pray for my son, My husband committed suicide and his family are taking, I think it's, I can't understand this word, but I think it's me to court. So let us pray. Lord, we hold before you all those for whom life feels such a tremendous weight and burden. Those whose mental health is fragile and they don't know how they're going to manage. We pray for this presumed woman whose husband has taken his life, his family situation is getting even more taxing, and who has a son in the mix. Bless this person as they heal and as they parent. Lord, people of old looked to you to rescue them from Roman oppression. They expected you to be the conquering Messiah. And yet you are the one who called them and us to love enemies. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are persecuted and imprisoned. We particularly pray for Christians in North Korea, China, in Afghanistan, elsewhere. Lord, we pray. Pray for all around the world living with conflict. And we know that if the situation in Russia and Ukraine escalates, then people will suffer. We know already that people are suffering. We ask for your peace, Lord Jesus. Pray for those churches where there is division. Pray for your blessing on the worldwide church as people try to work out what it means as we go forward. Pray for those communities for whom this is the end of their life. We ask for your strength, Lord Jesus, on Methodist Church in Kingston, Kingsgate Church, the Quakers, All Saints with St. John's as they look for new clergy. We pray for everyday church as it tries to discern what its future is. Lord, we pray. We pray for those people whose enemies and whose battles are within them. Those riddled with self-loathing and doubt and regret. Those struggling with anger issues. those who need to say sorry and can't. And we pray for those whose enemy is the enemy of alcohol, or gambling, or drugs, or food, or pray for those who are sick. For the many that we know who have COVID, many who we know who are recovering from it, we hold up Josh Trend, who has been in hospital and has had COVID symptoms for weeks, even though he is a teenager. We pray for his parents. John Trend, who is director of Oxygen, a borough-wide youth work, and his wife, Lisa. We pray for Margaret McMahon, awaiting surgery today. We ask for your healing for Sally. And we pray for your peace, Lord Jesus, for those who have been shielding and now wonder what it means that there will be an end of COVID restrictions. Lord, we pray for those that we find it hard to love. And we pray for ourselves that we would be among your generous and loving people. Do a work in each one of us, Lord Jesus, for we can never do this without you. Lord, we pray. Amen. So we continue our worship as we make our offering, which will be for those in the building and those of you who are joining us on Zoom through your banks, or send me a check, somebody did this week, and we'll put it into our systems. But for all of us, our gifts of money will now be received. So let us pray. Dedicate ourselves, Lord Jesus. We dedicate this money as a symbol that we offer, cash that we have, the lives that are ours, the talents, for we know it all comes from you. Receive these gifts. And bless also the money that we keep for ourselves, that we would use it with generosity for the work of your kingdom. Lord, we pray. Amen. Our final hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Okie dokie, could you come up here and let us see what you've been up to? Up you come? No, come up here, then the Zoomers can see you better. Hold it up. What does it say? It says love, forgiving, give, equal. Love one another, forgive, give, love, be kind. Very wise words. So I'm going to say a blessing. Just here we are. So may God bless us with a mind of sensitivity, with a heart of tenderness, with a strength of truth, in the name of God, the Creator, Jesus, the Savior, and the Holy Spirit, the Life Giver. And all God's people said, Amen.